Okay, come on, let's work it, people. We've got deadlines, ship dates, closings. Move it, move it, move it, move it.
I don't understand why it's so difficult to confirm an appointment.
I know, I'm so sorry, Miranda. I actually did confirm last night.
The details of your incompetence do not interest me. Tell Simone I'm not going to prove that girl that she sent me. An RSVP, yes, the Michael Kors party. I want the driver to drop me off at 9:30 and pick me up at 9:45 sharp. Then call Natalie at Gloria's Foods and tell her no for the 40th time. No, I don't want taquas. I want torts filled with warm rhubarb compote.
In the modern workplace, you've got your machine legends, Meryl Streep there, playing the world's busiest human in The Devil Wears Prada. And then you've got those clever, simulated workaholics for whom acting like you're busy is an art.
Yeah. What do you do all day?
Not that much.
Uh-huh. I thought that new promotion was supposed to be a lot more work.
Yeah, when the season starts. Right now I sit around pretending that I'm busy.
How do you pull that off?
I always look annoyed. When you look annoyed all the time, people think that you're busy.
George Costanza on Seinfeld, the master of his domain when it came to faking it. Turns out that a lot of people who project a life of 80-hour work weeks are better at acting than they are at their jobs. A Boston University study found that at one unnamed high-pressure global consulting firm, 31% of men and 11% of women gave the appearance of working more than they actually were. Michael Melcher is an executive coach and a partner in the firm Next Step Partners. Welcome, Michael.
Hello.
So we wanted to talk to you because, you know, you've got a little experience in sort of watching this and actually doing it yourself.
You could say that. When I saw the study results, I was not one bit surprised.
Right.
I think it's quite normal in the work world for people to exaggerate the amount of work they're doing in response to whatever the cultural norms are for what work's supposed to look like.
And in terms of faking, you also substitute the word meeting for maybe picking up my kid at school, that kind of thing.
I actually think the problem, the real problem, is somewhat bigger and broader than those kind of extreme cases. I think it's giving the appearance of hard work and long hours for the sake of that when it's not necessarily happening. So there are the extreme cases where people are putting meeting and doing personal things, but there are also the many, many ways that people effectively do personal work or non-work during the work day because they feel that they need to stay really long hours, but it's not sustainable.
And part of this also is sort of getting into the culture. I mean, if you know, the workplace is theater and everybody is acting kind of like an 80-hour a day or 80-hour a week maniac, you acquire the qualities of this frenzy, and whether you need it or not, you're all sort of behaving in a way that projects this workaholism.
That's exactly true. And we're all responsive to the culture. And I think what the study pointed out, which has been established elsewhere, is that men tend to do self-promotional activities more frequently and more effectively than women. So in this case, the version of self-promotion was giving the impression that you're working really long, intense hours. But there are a lot of other ways where that will show up as well.
And the statistics show that in this Boston University study, it was 31% of men and 11% of women gave the appearance of working more than they actually were. Now, this is just at one firm. Are men more inclined to do this because of a certain sort of moral turpitude? Or are women, you know, maybe afraid for their jobs and so maybe are restrained in this kind of behavior? Because I've met a lot of very workaholic women.
Yeah, it's hard to make those kind of generalizations.
Of course.
I think most people are probably pretty honest when it comes to how hard they're working. But I do think that men are sort of trained, if you will, to be more self-promotional, respond to those signals. It's also possible that because women still have more of the caregiving responsibilities, that they have more hard stops. So it's a lot harder to fake when they're stepping out compared to what men might do.
You know, a great study you could do would be to ask the questions of people in these individuals' families, how much they think their parents are working or their spouse is working. Because with flex time, work travels everywhere people go. And if you've got a smartphone, I suspect that it would wildly be different from what the actual worker is saying.
Right.
My kids, for instance, probably think I work, you know, 1,000 hours.
Little do they know. What your life is really like.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is making a kind of accommodation to the demands of the work. And I think most people probably have good intentions. But it's really common now for people to work during the day, go home, see the kids, and then put in some more work in the evenings. But I think the problem is that you have a couple of perverse work systems. One is the billable hours system, where your value is only tied to the number of hours that could be charged to a client, which has all sorts of negative repercussions. That's more like law, consulting, those types of businesses.
Right.
The other is the FaceTime system. That's more like Silicon Valley tech companies, where the culture is that you're there 12 hours a day. They have ping pong tables and free food and all that. But all that encourages is a kind of long inefficiency throughout the day, because you're measured by are you there early in the morning and late at night, as opposed to what you're really doing. So what employers really should be doing is finding ways to assess how do we know when you're being productive, and let's look at the results rather than these arbitrary systems that encourage bad behavior.
What's your instinct? Are people likely to be rewarded by just showing up and having extra hours, and does that differ between men and women, do you think?
To some degree, I think that every organization has filters. So there are things we notice and things we not notice. So, for example, some places start late, end late. So if you get there at 7 in the morning and do work, nobody's watching you, and then you leave at 5 o'clock and people think you're a slacker, even if you put more work in. You know, other cultures, they'll value FaceTime and meetings, and other ones will look at what your actual productivity is.
There is this anxiety in some workplaces. Nobody wants to be the first one to leave.
Yeah.
Or you wait for the boss or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and the problem is that if you let yourself become prey to that, you can never really be happy, because you probably won't win at the system and your personal life will be a mess. And so people do have to find clever ways to renegotiate these kind of supposed cultural norms just to be sane and happy.
Can management monitor the actual hours of workers without seeming like Big Brother and hugely intrusive or getting a time clock?
I think that Not 100%. I think there are ways that you can actually look at productivity, but there's a saying that what's measured gets valued. So if you're measuring time rather than output, you're going to have a twisted kind of system.
So there's no real progressive way to do that measuring without seeming like a hard...
Yeah, there's no easy way. I'll put it that way.
All right. Michael Melcher is an executive coach and a partner at the firm Next Step Partners. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And you're working. This counts as working.
This counts as work, man.
Totally. Yeah,
I'm
going
to post it on Facebook now.
We want to know, have you ever faked it at work to deal with personal matters? Kathleen on Facebook says no. Lucky for you, Kathleen. But does that mean you have an understanding boss or a boss who is also on Facebook? Look out. Have your say. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.